The show that takes you home. The Home Stretch with Sterling Holmes on ESPN Kansas City. 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome to the Home Stretch here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, and yes, back on Facebook Live. Rudy Salazar behind the glass. That's why we're back on Facebook Live, because I myself had zero idea how to do it. Rudy's been everywhere. We've been busy, okay? We've had a lot of things going on. Thank you, Ronnie. Already, he's back, baby. Facebook Live is popping. We're back to where we once were. I'm excited to be back. No show Thursday and Friday. The PGA Championship going on. We'll be carrying that here on ESPN Kansas City, so no show. So that means I will be golfing. I'm not opposed. You're telling me I don't have to work and I get to go golf? Yeah, okay. I'm fully involved in this. Let's talk some Royals, though, because a lot of things have been going on. Rudy, I don't know if you saw this. Terry Bradshaw, former Hall of Fame quarterback, got fired from the Royals pitching coach position. Surprising, huh?
It was a strange move to go from quarterback to broadcasting to hitting coach, but hey, I respect a man who pushes his boundaries.
Frankly, that was his first mistake. Should it have been the Hall of Fame and the guy who's an absolute goober on TV who always talks about giving away money.
And with the shirt off, weirdly enough.
Those commercials are the weirdest things, or those promos when it's like, we're taking Terry's money, and you're right, it's always unbuttoned way too far for a man who's old. I don't know how old. I guarantee you he wears white New Balances. That's all I got to say.
For sure.
Jordan Foote joining us from inside the Royals. Jordan, how you doing?
Buddy, I am good. It is weird that, you know, Terry tried out the whole hitting coach thing and then it didn't work out. Like, I don't know how people didn't, you know, foresee something like this happening. but I do wish him the best of luck. Maybe he'll go back and work for, was it Fox that he was at, you know, doing commentary and stuff like that. He'll be fine. He'll find stuff to do.
Yeah. Before we get into the actual Royals, Terry Bradshaw, are those just the worst promos of all time? Like, those are so incredibly cheesy. It's always about giving away a house or taking Terry's money. We know it's not actually Terry Bradshaw's money that's getting given away on Fox. We know this. What? We don't need you, Fox, to continuously run these promos.
Yeah, I think the CBS morning / like early afternoon show is way better than the Fox one. Like, I'm just not a big fan of that. And, you know, the Super 6 and all that stuff. I liked the crew with CBS better. Obviously not a big fan of the NBC show. I'm sure a lot of people kind of share that same sentiment. But, Terry, it's kind of cringy. I don't know, man. It's kind of weird. And you mentioned golf. I don't know which one is more cringeworthy, my golf game or the Terry Bradshaw Super 6 Come Take Terry's Money ad.
Or the start of this segment. But no, the actual hitting coach, Terry Bradshaw for the Royals, is fired. The Royals promote Alec Zumwalt to the new role, shaking it up after the Royals have scored 118 runs through their first 32 games, better than only the Tigers, Orioles, surprisingly the White Sox, and the 21 home runs trail only the Detroit Tigers and Red Sox for the worst total in the big leagues. What was your initial takeaway when this all happened?
I mean, it's the wrong coach to fire first, I think. They have another guy who may or may not be in charge of the pitchers, who probably more deserving of something like that, you know. But, I mean, either way, probably getting both out of there is the right call. Terry Bradshaw just, they got all they could out of him with revamping the minor league hitting kind of program and everything. They were able to really get a lot of good stuff going and get a lot of guys, MJ Melendez back on track, Nick Prado back on track. It's not happening at the MLB level. And a lot of those guys come up and they are what they are, but the Royals have been an organization that doesn't want you to draw walks, wants you to be a free swinger at the plate. They have guys, we've seen MJ Melendez come up this season. He's put together some of the best at-bats on the team, and he's one of the youngest players out there. So it's interesting that their philosophy just hasn't led to a lot of runs and a lot of, you know, getting on base and having those opportunities. They take pride in being this stolen base organization and playing small ball, but you have to get on base to do that. So one of those things where it was probably overdue. It was the right call. But I was surprised to see after their best offensive series of the year, even though it was at Coors Field, to see that happen, then have it be before Cal Eldred or someone else within the org.
Yeah, this means less bunting. I'm all in. And they always like to let coaches, staff go after a win, after they have something positive. Puts them, they ride off into the sunset that way, right? Like, when head coaches get fired, they like to do it after a win. That way, you don't have the worst taste in your mouth. It's a sour taste because they were horrendous, but not the worst taste. And I'm with you. Like, Terry Bradshaw, he's an issue. Obviously, the whole hitting as a whole should be much better than this. This is not what we expected. But when you look over to the pitching staff, and it's been abysmal with all of these first-rounders, all these prospects who are supposed to be just outstanding, who have crushed it in the minors, then they get to the majors and look like deer in headlights. That has to be the main issue. I don't know if the whole Mike Matheny, Cal Eldred, buddy-buddy situation is getting in the way, but this is a real issue that I think we have to take a bigger look at.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, it's having good leaders in place and good coaches. Like, obviously, these guys are grown men. Obviously, they have their own routines. Obviously, they've been through the ringer and all that stuff. Having guys that are just able to be receptive, like the players are receptive to them, that means a ton, whether they have good ideas or not. You get good ideas out there. You get guys who the players want to listen to. It can change stuff. And maybe Alex Zumwalt, they do have a ton of, you know, confidence in him, as I get a notification that Brady Singer just walked out onto the field at Kauffman Stadium. So I think that may or may not mean that with that doubleheader tomorrow, Brady Singer will be back up. Anyway, it is an organization-wide problem, I think. They do have guys that I think the players are just tired of it. And obviously the young guys can't be because they either haven't earned their stripes or haven't been up there long enough. But if you're telling me Whit Merrifield, like, was best buds with Terry Bradshaw or something, then I'd be hard-pressed to believe that. I think that obviously none of that's going to come out with players' names, but it does seem that there's an organization-wide problem, even at the big league level specifically. It is time for a change, and I don't think that's going to be the last change they make.
Do you know much about Alex Zumwalt or some of the other guys they're shaking up and using in the majors? Do you know much about them, or is this just a, you know what, let's see if it sticks. He's been with the organization since 2011. Let's see if we can still have a guy who's been with the players but get a new perspective here.
Yeah, I think Zumwalt, he's the guy that they're kind of stuck between. Does he belong in the front office, or does he belong out on the field every day working with guys? And that's kind of a, you have good leaders and you have guys who are smart and you want them to kind of have that overhead role, which, I mean, he's kind of had as whatever his senior director of hitting and player development. He had like a really fancy title. Now I think he's going to kind of be one of those hands-on everyday guys, which I think is the play. Then I admittedly don't know too much about the assistant hitting coach, but you have Mike Tosar, who's going to be, whether it's in uniform not doing anything or in uniform helping out every day. He's the guy that those guys have been training with in the offseason. He's been the one that has unlocked Jorge Soler. I think that one means quite a bit. Salvador Perez has trained with him. I believe Mondesi has done work with him. Mike Tosar is going to be a more important presence than I think some other guys. But Alex Zumwalt, having him out there, it seems like the guys like him. And I know Jeffrey Flanagan tweeted about that earlier in the day. He was around it. He knows how they feel about him. So I'm not saying they didn't respect Terry Bradshaw. I'm not saying no one liked Terry Bradshaw. Obviously, that wasn't the case. But I do think at the very least, you're getting guys who they do like. You're getting guys who have a track record of kind of working with those players, high profile guys directly. So it can't hurt at the very least, whether it's going to end up in, you know, this massive sweeping change or not.
End of the day, the players have to hit. End of the day, Terry Bradshaw's not going out there and he's not the one who's swinging at bad pitches and who is underperforming. He's not Whit Merrifield, who was supposed to bat what, 280, who's batting a buck and some change, right?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to. But you are still going to be the guy. When the fans want someone gone, you're not going to say cut Whit Merrifield. You're going to say cut Terry Bradshaw because the entire lineup, for the most part, is underperforming. So if you're Terry Bradshaw, you had to see this coming. You hate seeing someone lose their job. Again, when it comes to Cal Eldred, it sucks. You're like, man, I don't want a man to lose his job. At the same time, this might not be the job for you. How long do you think Cal Eldred stays in Kansas City? Because we're past, what, 40 games now? What are we at? 32 games now? Where do you think Cal Eldred, where's that cut line at?
It's a tough one, man, because what if Brady Singer does come back up? It can go one of two ways. It could go Carlos Santana, Chris Bubich do, quote-unquote, figure some stuff out. Jackson Kowar, quote-unquote, figure some stuff out. Brady Singer uses the changeup, comes back up and looks good, or he looks bad. If he comes up and looks bad, you probably say that Cal's the problem. And, I mean, you've seen it with the mound visits. He'll go out for a mound visit, and then immediately something bad happens. Like, at a certain point, those can't be coincidence. On the other hand, if you have a guy come up and he does play well, do you credit the minor league system for developing them there? I mean, it's one of those things where you want the Royals to, if you're them, have the players go out there and play well. But on the other hand, if they struggle, do you blame the players? Because at the end of the day, like you said, they have to go out and execute. But if they're not getting the right instruction, or in the minor leagues they are, in the major leagues they aren't, Cal seems to be the guy. So I think I give it, probably within a month, I believe. I didn't expect the Royals to make a move with Bradshaw so soon. I know that the 40-game timeline with Dayton Moore seems to be, like, set in stone, so I don't think in eight games or whatever that Cal's going to get fired. But if this keeps up, and, you know, even if Zach Greinke slides a little bit, even if Brad Keller slides a little bit, if the rotation as a whole isn't very good or the bullpen implodes, something is going to hit the fan, and then I think that'll lead to Cal being fired. I thought yesterday's game, when they blew that 6-run lead, I didn't think anyone was going to be fired, but I did expect something crazy to happen. The offense battled back. Then the hitting coach gets fired. So I don't know what the Royals are going to do. I think it's kind of one big guessing game. But to say Cal Eldred's job is safe, I think would be very inaccurate. His seat's got to be, like, on fire right now.
Yeah, it's you know, the back it up Terry, you know, the YouTube video? He's on fire right now. Cal Eldred, he's sitting there, and there's fireworks going off all around him. Jordan Foote, inside the Royals, joining us on the home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. I think the Royals really needed Jose Guillen last night, because Jose Guillen would – think of him. Think of Jose Guillen as that lead is just going away. He'd be punching so many things. So many water coolers would be broken. That's what the Royals needed.
Oh, man. Well, knowing the Royals luck, someone would, like, punch it and then get hurt and be on the IL for, like, 50. Like, they just have such bad luck. They just need to figure something out. And the thing is, some of those guys are going to figure stuff out. Like, Merrifield will be better. I don't know by how much. Whit Jr. already is getting better. As I see, I have my tweet deck pulled up in the background. They've been talking about firing Bradshaw for about 10 to 12 days. So I find that interesting that obviously it was kind of premeditated. They didn't care how good the offense was in Coors Field. Some of those guys are going to get better. Some guys like Benintendi, he's not going to hit this well all year. I mean, he's in a contract season, but that doesn't mean he's going to be one of the best players in baseball this season. There are going to be struggles. There are going to be young guys that come up, like a Nick Prado or a Vinny Pasquantino, that take a little bit to get going. So it's going to be one of those things where they just need to level out and hope that Nicky Lopez will improve, hope that Salvador Perez will improve, hope that Hunter Dozier can keep playing somewhat well. It's a risky game to play, I tell you that, because they just don't have a bunch of talent right now. But I think by the end of the year, even by the end of mid-June even, maybe you're going to see quite a bit of change, and that goes with players as well as maybe the coaching staff.
So I know Kyle Isbell is not ripping the cover off of the ball, but it feels like he cannot even get an opportunity. It's to the point where I'm sitting here, is he called up? Did he get sent back down? At times, I'm just wondering, why isn't he getting any opportunity? I understand if you don't think that he might be the best player. Like, he's not going to be an all-pro outfielder. He's not going to be consistently in the all-star game. But at the same time, is Michael A. Taylor? Is all these other guys that they're rolling out there, is Hunter Dozier in the outfield going to really be the future? I would at least like to see Kyle Isbell. You're sitting at 12-20. I just don't understand this. It feels like the Royals are in this impasse of trying to win games and trying to rebuild. They don't mesh, right? There's no way you can sit here and say, we want to win every game, and also we only want to focus on the young guys. I just don't understand the game plan right now.
Yeah, and it's not like Kyle Isbell has thousands and thousands of plate appearances under his belt and at-bats under his belt. He's a guy that, man, he hasn't played a ton. And he has played well when he has played, and he's been out at the major league level. He struggled last year. He came back up later in the season, played genuinely well, had a great spring training. Edward Olivares is hurt, so it's not like they need to figure out innings between those two. It's a Whit Merrifield in the outfield, Hunter Dozier in the outfield, MJ Melendez in the outfield. I don't get – if Hunter Dozier was playing poorly and they truly cared about winning, which, I mean, both of those things probably aren't happening right now, Dozier could be benched and they could eat his salary and they'd have innings for almost everybody. Dozier's playing somewhat well. He's been one of their better hitters, which I know isn't saying a ton, but the point remains they don't have, according to them – apparently, innings for Kyle Isbell. I think they do. I think that you can make Michael A. Taylor a rest guy sometimes because he's probably not the healthiest. He's also over 30. Kyle Isbell can hold down center field adequately, I believe. The bat is professional. I've been telling people this all year. If you let Andrew Benintendi walk, you can probably get 80-85% of that production last year with Kyle Isbell at, 10% of the price or whatever it's going to be, maybe less than 10%.
You and I disagree strongly on Andrew Benintendi, and that's fine. I feel like I'm...
I like him. He's a good player, but I think Kyle Isbell can be a solid player, and compared to a good player, if you're saving that much money as a drop-off, I think it's at least worth entertaining.
So
it's more about Isbell and less about Benintendi. I think Benintendi's
fair.
A good player.
Okay, this is where I'm at. I'm honestly more on the stand of I haven't seen anything with Kyle Isbell that makes me believe that he's the guy. But my point is, sure, I want the Royals to at least see and try and find out what he can be. Again, I'm more on the side of I think he kind of is who he is. I don't think he's going to be some guy who goes out and crushes it. I don't think he's anywhere near Andrew Benintendi. That's my personal opinion. He's not shown me that in any stages, right? I think Andrew Benintendi gets highly underrated at this point in his career. What he did last year was, be above average in left field, win a gold glove, and this year he's been on an absolute tear, and this is what I think he is going to be for the rest of his career. Not very much in the face of power, right? But going through the minors, and what he did his rookie season with the Red Sox was exactly this. A lot of doubles, RBIs, walks, doesn't strike out a ton, right? High on base percentage, great average. This is what he was touted as when he was the number one prospect in baseball. I think he's finally figured out what his real swing is because he tried and he admitted it for a few times his last few seasons with the Red Sox before he got hurt. He was trying to hit home runs. It was not working for him. He came to Kauffman, tried to retool his swing. I think he finally found his old swing, and this is what we're going to see the rest of the year. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to stand and wave my arms proudly on the Benintendi Mountain.
Yeah, that's not a bad place to plant your flag, man. He's been a really good player this year. He's been objectively good for stretches in his career. I think the low-end outcome with him is he is a slightly above-average player. I think Isbell's just going to be average no matter what. Like, I don't think he has a very high ceiling, but I think his floor is also pretty high. So if they wanted to cut costs, I could see them doing it. With that said, Benintendi's only 27. He's been healthy this year, so I totally 100% see that logic. He's objectively good, and I mean, it's hard to get, especially as a small market team, objectively good cost-controlled players. So if they can, extend him for $14, $15 million a year over the next few seasons, that's probably worth it.
Yeah, and Foot, I don't want to argue with you here because, you know what, I do. Okay, to an extent, I do want to argue with you here. Why cut costs? We were promised when John Sherman came in, or at least read between the lines, he was going to spend more money. That was a big takeaway from his press conference, what he was about, moving the stadium downtown, and spending more money. If you're just going to cut Andrew Benintendi to put a worse product in left field in Kyle Isbell, and again, we don't know if Kyle Isbell is going to be a worse product in this scenario. That's what we're saying here, because we know the known in Benintendi. Then what was the point? You're not going to get better if you just cut costs.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm thinking from the Royals' perspective. If me and you are running it, dude, we're extending Benintendi tomorrow for, you know, 4 for 60 or whatever.
Easy. Wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah, because it's what a smart team would do. I'm not insulting the Royals' intelligence or anything, but I'm saying if they wanted to cut costs, you know, I could see it being justified. If we're running it, you know, Ryan O'Hearn's DFA'd,
yes.
Benintendi's extended, Mondesi is probably let walk at the end of the year.
How dare you?
I know, because Mondesi has shown for, you know, prolonged stretches.
He's an Iron Man. Cal Ripken Jr. is in shock right now.
And the thing with him is, I don't want to, you know, go too far off the beaten path. Mondesi hasn't even been that good when he plays. Like, he has had, you know, 4 weeks where he's been a great player, but then he's also had 8 weeks where he's been one of the worst in baseball. And I get the speed, I get the defense, but the guy strikes out more than almost any player in baseball. Mm. He doesn't have any plate discipline. The power isn't quite as impressive as advertised. Like, I think he is going to sadly be one of the players that leaves Kansas City and suddenly figures it out. And it's not going to be the Royals' fault. It's not going to be anyone's fault. That's just going to be how it goes because the Royals have that luck. And I don't know if that's going to be Kyle Isbell. He goes and becomes an everyday player. Mondesi becomes an everyday player or close to it. Somebody, seen it with the pitchers.
Jake Junis, ringing a bell.
Jake Junis is absolutely fantastic. So Brian Goodwin was one of those guys. That's just kind of the Royal charm. They will, you know, get you going and then let you go, and you can spread your wings and fly away.
You want to hear a fun little stat here? Mondesi has 4 more strikeouts than Andrew Benintendi.
Oh, my God.
64 different plate appearances.
Oof. His strikeout rate's like 30%, dude. It's
more than that. He struck out 20 times in 50 at-bats.
Not good.
No. I think that's not ideal. The eye test and analytics will tell you not good.
Yeah, not... It's no matter how you slice it. Like, if he's hitting 40 home runs and he's like a Joey Gallo with speed and defense, then okay, you can eat that. But if he's going to get on base 27% of the time or whatever and just not draw walks, not hit a ton of home runs, not get on the field, not play, you know, smart baseball, it's tough to justify, man. I think that this is, what, 7 years in the running now through the organization, so might be it for him.
Jake Junis, we mentioned just a second ago, I think he's only had 2 starts for the Giants, so it's not like we have this massive sample size to go off of. He's thrown about 20 innings, 2 starts, 2 relief appearances, but he looks incredible for the San Francisco Giants. Is it just getting out of Kansas City? Is this just the latest in a stretch of the Royals don't necessarily know what they're doing with pitchers, or is this just a blip in the radar? It's 4 appearances, only 2 starts. Junis will come back to earth eventually. Where do you land on this?
I think it's a lot of it is just getting away from the Royals and figuring out what he needs to do well. He's literally just using, I believe it's using the slider more and the fastball less.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. I think it's the first one where he's throwing his best pitch more often than he ever has in his whole career, and it's working. Like, I don't know at a certain point, and I guess with the young guys it's easier to say this, but with a guy like him, if you are what you are after 3 or 4 or 5 years, try to make a major change. And if it works, then it works. It's not like you need to tell Chris Bubich, hey, we need you to completely abandon your fastball or something like that, which honestly for him wouldn't be a terrible thing, but he just doesn't have enough to begin with. Junis, they didn't have anything to lose. They were like, dude, throw your best pitch as often as possible. It's a very novel concept, and it's working. So the Royals wanted him to be a pitcher that he didn't want to be. Mm. He's being a pitcher that he wants to be now and is comfortable doing it, and you're seeing the results. Is he going to be this good all year? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
He's not going to be, you know, a Cy Young candidate or anything. But he did show some flashes in Kansas City. There was something there. I know that Jorge Lopez, when they played Baltimore earlier in the year, he still is iffy, but he's unlocked ticks on his fastball. They have had guys who have left, Brad Boxberger being one of them. They have guys who leave and play better ball. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I think it is the Royals can't develop at the big league level, and that applies to hitters and pitchers, and that's a rough place to be because they're not getting a ton of finished products that come through that organization.
By the way, Who would have thought that Brad Boxberger would still be around after his stint in Kansas City? And also, by the way, I thought he was much older than 33.
I thought Brad Boxberger was like 40.
Yeah, I literally thought he was 38. Without a doubt in my mind, I was about to say, if you would have asked me how old is Brad Boxberger, I'd have said 38 and been like, lock it in. Lock it in, Steve Harvey. That's my final answer.
Yeah, I feel like I played MLB 2K10 the other day.
First question, why?
I just had it plugged in. I was sitting on the couch and I had the Xbox 360. I forgot it was even plugged in. And I was like, I'll fire this up and see what's in there.
Hanley Ramirez just absolutely raking, huh?
Yeah. And I feel like Brad Boxberger was probably on that game. And he obviously wasn't, because he would have been, what, 19 or 21 at that point, and he wouldn't have been up at the major league level unless he was absolute can't-miss prospect or something. But it seems like he's been around forever.
Mm. So tonight, Johnny Cueto looks like he will be starting for the White Sox. I'm really excited because I'm going to the game, so I can't wait. Can't wait to get a little bit of a tutorial on how to salsa dance while pitching. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, he'll be shimmying it up at the K. And obviously everyone loves Johnny Cueto at the K, so that's good for him. I don't think he's going to pitch. I can't even say he's not going to pitch particularly well because he's not facing a good lineup. Like, I know Johnny Cueto's, I don't want to use the word washed, but he's definitely not what he once was. But the Royals lineup is also, you know, bottom five in baseball. So maybe there will be a fine line between him having a couple vintage innings, but the Royals offense finally waking up. I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah, this is his first start in the majors this year. He got selected from AAA Charlotte today. So today he got the call up to the majors. Do you think he gets a loud ovation for his previous success here? Which is funny, when you look back at what he did here in Kansas City, he was really bad for the majority of it. When he got traded, we all expected an ace to come in, and he was just brutal, was getting shelled. And we're like, really? This is who the Royals went out and got at the deadline? And then, of course, I think it was his last two starts or last start of the regular season, and that trickled into the postseason where he was just untouchable. I just feel like his time here was just wild.
Yeah, it was insane. Like, I vaguely remember him being bad and then being really, really good. Like, there was no in-between. Like,
no.
It's like, oh, this is the guy who just gave up. Was it Brandon Finnegan they traded for him?
Yeah, who, by the way, was incredible in 2014. So we're all sitting here going, oh, what are you doing?
And then he obviously, it was worth it. But
yeah,
some of those trades at the time, you're like, man, this does not look good. And the Royals aren't one of those orgs that's going to make a ton of those. They don't make those blockbusters. So that was 7 years ago. Can you believe that?
Oh, my gosh. I was 21. My back and hip didn't hurt yet. I was not wearing all white New Balances yet. This is
weird.
I was a
sophomore in high school.
Oh man, you're real young. You're real young, Jordan. You couldn't even drink during that. You couldn't even do any boozing when the Royals won. What'd you do? Sip some apple juice when the Royals won the World Series? Come on, Jordan.
I couldn't do anything. I wasn't 18 yet or 21.
Brad Keller on the mound for the Royals. Does his great start continue? 1-3, although he does have a 2.7 ERA. And what leads me to be optimistic here is his whip is only .98. So it's not like he's walking a ton of dudes. He's not getting shelled when he goes out there. This, to me, is the most promising takeaway.
Yeah. No, he's been really good. And he had a rough start last time out. His fastball just isn't that good, so it's susceptible to getting hit pretty hard sometimes. He's going to be fine. I think he's going to have a solid start. I'm going to predict 5 innings of 5-hit, 2-run baseball. I think he's going to get, I'll go 5 strikeouts in those 5 innings, and then maybe 1 walk.
Ooh, do the Royals win? Come on, I'm there tonight.
Oh, man. I think just because you're going to be there, they will win by 1 run.
Oh, hell yes. I almost cussed. I almost said a bad word, but I said hell yes. I caught myself, Rudy. Don't need to press the dump button. I'm sitting right above the opposing player's bullpen so I can just haze them. You know, that's I get in their head. I was there in the home opener, so I was just hazing Tristan McKenzie when he came in and got shelled. That was me. You're welcome. You're welcome, Jordan.
You were in his head. Those high level athletes, they have no mental strength at all. They
crumble.
Sterling get in their head 24/7.
Dude, I'm the Reggie Miller of rec basketball, of getting in people's domes.
Gosh.
Okay, Jordan, this is what I do. Okay, trash talk extraordinaire.
Oh man,
you don't believe me, do you, Foot?
No, I do. I can tell.
Jordan Foote of Inside the Royals. Follow him on Twitter at FootNoted. FOOTE Noted. Jordan, always appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
And we'll take a quick break. The home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, and Facebook Live. Rudy, this is the perfect song. I want the money to talk with the Royals, okay? That's all I'm saying. Stop trying to cut costs. Stop using "you paid Carlos Santana, so you have to play him" as an excuse. Money talks. You want to know why people aren't going to Royals games besides the fact they can't watch it on TV? And so they're becoming less of a fan because they don't get a chance to actually watch and enjoy this team. I guess enjoying's the wrong word. Because parking's $30 at the door. Because it's $13 for a big Bud Light. Money talks. When you have a bad product, let me at least enjoy some cheap beer. That's all I'm saying. Is that fair, Rudy? Am I old man yelling at clouds? But when the Royals are 12-20, I don't want to pay $13 and $30 for parking. $13 for a Bud Light.
I mean, nobody wants to pay those things at any time, but... To be fair, Royals parking significantly cheaper than Chiefs parking.
Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, four straight AFC championship games.
But it doesn't matter how good or bad the team is.
There's also demand.
Those prices don't
factor. There's demand. I'm going to go to the game tonight. I bet there's 9,000 fans. I bet under 10.
Yeah.
Monday.
I assume they'll get over 10, but it's not going to be a lot more. Not going to be much.
I want cheap beer, okay? Dollar beers. I know I think banned actually in baseball, in Major League Baseball, because
probably
of people getting too drunk. I think that was an actual thing. I feel like the Dodgers may have used to do that, and that was the reason why. Am I wrong here? I'm probably wrong. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. But you know when you remember something? And I feel like that's why dollar beers got banned.
Anything that's cheap in sports is banned.
Rob Manfred says no.
Gotta spend money.
Gotta spend money. Rob Manfred says no. How dare you? So the Royals knew I was going to the game, and they decided to put my favorite player, Carlos Santana, back in the four hole, just for me. Because anytime you have a dude batting 143 with one home run, you got to bat him fourth. You just have to. I don't understand this mindset. That's why I was excited when you came back with that song. Santana's not good. He's not going to magically get good. Not at his age. And no team is going to suddenly say, you know what? He's 3 for his last 10. Let's trade for the guy. Even if you want to continuously play Carlos Santana, because looking at this, Isbell is playing in right today. Yippee. I'm actually pretty excited about that. You don't have to play Carlos Santana. You just don't. And you do, don't bat him fourth.
Professional at bat. Real pro is pro.
Is that
how to work account?
Is that one of the lamest things to explain if a guy's bad?
I mean that's I'm sure why Matheny has him there.
He's a pro's pro. He knows how to take an at bat.
Really,
you mean he's bad?
Account.
You mean he doesn't get on base or get hits?
He'll take a walk.
You mean he won't swing? He's not afraid to strike out looking? These are all what you're saying. It's like, you know, in rec basketball, you go to a gym, right? Or ask your friends if they're good at basketball, right? And what do they say? Well, I'm good at rebounding and defense. You know what that tells me? They're bad.
Can't shoot. No offense.
High motor. If high motor is the first thing I hear in football, typically I think, you know what? He might not be a great player. George K., he's really, really good and has a high motor, okay? It's a combo. But if you're just a high motor guy, chances are you're not good. It's the same thing in baseball when you say, well, he takes professional at-bats. It
works account.
You know who didn't work account? Alcides Escobar. Lead-off home run, baby, inside the park. Could have been an error.
It's It's more fun with a home run.
I am excited. Here's the lineup for tonight. Witt, Benintendi, Salvi. Top three, okay. Merrifield had one great game, so Matheny goes, you know how you're batting eighth? Back in the leadoff spot. Santana batting fourth. Dozier batting fifth after a nice 5-for-5 game. I'll take that. He ended up 5. He didn't go in 6-for-6. I fell asleep, I think, in that Colorado game. He was 5-for-5. I know he at least got 5 hits.
Did not watch the Royals this week.
That much I know. I was watching it.
I was out of town, so I...
I don't know why I do it to myself. I love the Royals. So, does this make me, like... I don't know the word. Into pain, I guess, because I like watching this 12-20 Royals team.
I mean...
Kind of.
There was a time when I used to, you know, watch every Royals baseball game as well, regardless how bad they were. I don't know. I've lost a lot of interest. You know, part of it too is just work schedule. Like when I'm here in the, I'm generally here when the Royals games are playing, so I am not really paying attention to the game. It's on a TV, but I'm glancing at it once every 5 minutes.
Sure.
Just because I just generally have other things going on.
I care too much. That's my issue. My issue is, finally. Bobby Witt Jr. 6th, Michael A. Taylor 7th, Emmanuel Rivera 8th, Kyle Isbell 9th, some young guys 8 and 9, because you don't want them to get more at-bats, right? You want them to get less than Carlos Santana, because obviously Santana's your future, facetiously, of course. I'm tired of the moral victories, okay? That's what I'm tired of. I feel like a lot of Royals fans have gotten into this mindset of, well, it's fun, we'll just go out, and who cares if they're good, it'll be okay. Small market team, they're not supposed to be good. At some point, it's like, do you guys not remember 14 and 15, how much fun that was when the Royals were actually a good product?
I mean, I don't even know if the Royals are getting moral victories this year. I mean, it's just been bad.
Well, and that's also the point I was talking to Jordan about in the first segment. Rivera and Isbell, they're playing, but they're 8th and 9th. They're in this weird... They're in the middle here. They don't know if they want to try and win games, if they want to try and rebuild. If you want to try and rebuild, put Rivera and Isbell higher in the lineup. Don't have Santana batting fourth. Honestly, Santana batting fourth probably doesn't give you the best chance to win either way. It makes no sense. Brad Keller on the mound tonight. He's 1-3, 2.7 ERA. Why I think that his early great start will continue, his whip, a.k.a. his walks and hits per inning pitched, is .98. That's incredible. Anything under one is absolutely elite, and he's been elite. Doesn't get a lot of strikeouts, 22 strikeouts in 36.2 innings. That will always be his bugaboo. If there's ever going to be a guy who gets shelled in a game or two, or a guy who can get got, it's Brad Keller, because he does not have a great strikeout pitch, doesn't get a ton of strikeouts, but he doesn't walk a lot of guys, doesn't give up a lot of home runs, generates a lot of weak contact. He's a guy who's pitched better than the underlying numbers indicate for a long time, but at some point, some guys are just better than the trends. Zach Greinke has been that guy for a long time now, later on in his career as he's gotten older. Brad Keller has shown time and time again, outside that, what, six-month stretch, four-month stretch last year when he just got obliterated?
Yeah, he was bad for most of last year, but besides that, he's been a good pitcher for most of his big league career.
We've had, what, 3.5, 3.25
yeah,
seasons where he's shown he's a viable three?
And he had moments last year towards the end of the year where it looked like he was figuring things out, but for the most part, he was bad last year. But for the most part, also, he's been good for his career.
So I think this good start for him continues. We always talk about these young Royals pitchers, right? Brad Keller's 26. That's still young. Brad Keller is what these other guys, I hope, can accomplish. Of course, when we were given the option of Brady Singer and Jackson Coar and Chris Bubich, all these young guys, and who knows what Ace Lacy is. We've not heard much about him at all. That's not a good sign. We all wanted to be better than Brad Keller, because in my estimation, Brad Keller's a three, right? If you're a contender, Brad Keller's a three, really good four. You don't want Brad Keller to be your ace, though. The Royals, in my estimation, were drafting all these top-end young talents to get those aces, to try and go out and get the number one, to become the Cleveland Guardians, to get your Shane Bieber, to be able to let Corey Kluber walk because you have another guy waiting in the wings.
to let Mike Clevinger walk because you have another guy waiting in the wings. But none of those guys, outside of Daniel Lynch, have shown anything in the majors. Daniel Lynch is the only young pitcher I'm sitting here going, you know what? I've seen something from. I can see a future here. And even him, I don't see as an ace. I see him as a contributor. I don't know about you, Rudy, but I think they fired the wrong coach. Terry Bradshaw, to me, they're like, we had to fire someone. We need to get someone canned. And it somehow was Terry Bradshaw. I feel like I don't want to use like a medical thing, but like there's a torn ACL and we put a Band-Aid over it. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan, this is always the question of, you know, how much credit, blame, or whatever, but like at some point you just have to make changes. The fact that both aren't gone just does make a lot of sense. I mean, like they obviously move on from Terry Bradshaw. I think it's fine. The offense has been bad.
They need to.
But also, like, I know why Kel Eldridge has a job. He has closer ties to this, to the people in charge than Terry Bradshaw did. That's why Kel Eldridge is still employed. But there's no reason. There's no good base. Again, even if you're somebody who, again, like I don't know how much effect Kel Eldridge has on the base, like has on the pitching staff as a whole. Like it's hard to fully put that into like what that percentage is. But I also know, again, it's just he's been the pitching coach for a while now. Nothing good is happening, and to expect the same thing, to continue to do the same thing over and over and expect different results, it's just, I mean,
the definition of insanity. Actually, I think so I saw recently it wasn't actually attributed to anyone. So maybe we're the insane people for continuously referencing this.
No, I think we should just keep repeating.
Okay, I like it too. Yeah, I like it too personally. I enjoy it.
So yeah, I mean, I would assume they're going to move on from him at some point this year. Why they just didn't do an overhaul now?
Yes,
I don't know.
Off season.
But
if you know you're going to fire a guy, why?
There's just no reason for him to still be the pitching coach. Hey, you don't have to kick him out of the organization if you really like the guy. Just move him to some just random title where he can collect a paycheck. Right?
Sure.
Fine.
Hate that. Do that with me.
Yeah,
like, do that like, with me and Rudy. We'll gladly take money from you.
A ton of those guys in baseball organizations, right? Like the special assistant to the GM.
Yep.
You know, like Jordan Brett shows up for spring training and hits grounders and pitches, you know, batting
hits
practice
fungo
to the young guys
for an hour and gets paid $1 million. Like, yeah, sure, go ahead.
And that's cool. Good for George, you know, helping, doing what he can to help young guys. But then for the rest of the season, he's just chilling.
Yeah.
Like let Cal do that. It's fine. But like I don't know why.
Don't let him around the young pitchers,
you
and he's fine.
Letting him just be in charge because it's clearly not working.
He's also in a lose-lose situation where, one, if you know you're getting fired, I don't know why the Royals just don't overhaul it now, let the new guy get his feet wet. But it's also lose-lose in the scenario that if the young guys come up and pitch well, it's not because of him. It's almost in spite of him. Because none of the young guys are getting called up. So Brady Singer or Jackson Coar. Jackson Coar was nails in AAA last year, right? Nails. That's not Kel Eldridge. If he comes up and crushes it like he did in the minors, you're sitting here going, well, that's to be expected. Nothing Kel Eldridge. He's just lucky he didn't mess it up. Now, if Brady Singer comes up and starts pitching well again because he went back to the minors, started to deal again, and learned how to throw that changeup more often. That was a big deal in the minors. He was going down. I was seeing 10, 11-plus changeups thrown a game. That's big for him. That's not Kel Eldridge. That's him going back to the minors, working with those pitching coaches. That's my main...
Guys who are essentially trained to develop pitchers, right?
And that's my main issue here.
Like, Kel's job is to kind of be the final little piece, right? The final little top off. And like what evidence is there
he's
done any of that, right? Like, again, like Brad, I mean, like
Brad Keller is the
Brad
one
Keller
guy you can point to.
But Brad Keller even kind of mentioned it last year at times where it was just like, I forget the exact quote, but he essentially had the quote where he was just like, yeah, Cal's like, just, he's not doing anything. Like,
I asked him what he was doing, and he's like, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, it's just, one of your own pitchers has admitted to this as much, you know? It's just.
And he's the one guy you point to as a success, right? He's the one young guy you point to as this is a success. For a team with so many young pitchers, I've always thought if there's a pitching coach that you really, really like,
If there's a pitching coach in the minors that has had success with all of these young guys, keep moving them up the ranks with them. Almost have it like a, you know how some pitchers, like Tim Wakefield, was it Jason, not Jason Veritek, who was his guy? Doug Mancini or Doug Mirabelli?
Mirabelli, yes.
Doug Mirabelli.
Mirabelli was his personal catcher.
It's almost the same.
I always remember the scene
they'd fly him into the game.
they let him walk as a free agent. I think he signed with the Padres. And after Tim Wakefield's like first game, he threw like 7 or 8 pass balls or something. They then immediately start working out a trade for him. They acquire him on the day of Wakefield's next start. And they flew him across the country.
Yeah.
He hopped in a helicopter. They landed him by the stadium. They're like, we gotta get this guy.
It was
back.
A Jason Bourne movie. It was, we gotta get him to the game.
This guy is too valuable. And then the man was just a Red Sox for the rest of his career.
But that's what I want the Royals to do with a pitching coach. If Doug Mirabelli and Tim Wakefield work so well, Clayton Kershaw has his own catcher. He doesn't use Will Smith typically. He uses whoever the other catcher is on the Dodgers. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. Austin Barnes.
I almost said Austin Taylor, but yes, Barnes. It is Austin Barnes.
Why, if all these young pitchers are having success in AAA or another stop in the minors, have that pitching coach go up with him. I know it'd be unheard of. I understand this is different. Be different. You know what different a lot of times does? Creates change. Can create positive change. You know who's different? The Oakland A's with Moneyball. You know who's different? The Tampa Bay Rays with everything they do. We know what the normal is for the Royals. We understand what it is. Do something different. I don't care if it's unique.
At least hire somebody with a track record of dealing with young pitchers, right? Like, again, it's just like what in Cal Eldred's history tells you that like this is where he's going to thrive.
It's bonkers, man. I'm not saying I would do better. I'm not saying
I
know.
I'd do worse.
Yeah, I'm not saying I know what's wrong with Brad Singer or Brady Singer. I know. I understand this. I'm not going to go out there and tell Brady Singer, this is how you throw a changeup and this is how you get strikeouts. This is how you can become comfortable with this pitch. I understand that. That is not my job. The job is for the Royals to find someone who can do that. We'll take a quick break, come back to the homestretch here, ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the homestretch here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, and Facebook Live. Thank you again to Jordan Foote, Inside the Royals, coming on, giving us our Royals fix. I went to KC Beer Company twice this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Great spot, great beer, and I love the food. Honestly, bratwursts? Do you like brats?
Love a good brat.
Fun fact for you. Typically not a big brat guy. These are incredible. The jalapeno cheese one.
Love a good brat.
You got to watch out, though, because when you bite down, it can get a little juicy in there. And your neighbors can get sprayed. Not trying to spray my neighbors with my... I'm going to pause
brat.
Right here. Yeah, I'm going to juicy brat. I was about to say a phrasing just before I even just set. Let's stop. Rewind. They also have really good mustard and potato salad. They have like 3 things. What do you want? What kind of brat do you want? What side do you want? And do you want a pretzel and beer? All those things. Also watched some NBA over the weekend. Luka Doncic just team on his back. This dude was out here overweight when he came in. The entire offseason was videos of him and photos just chugging vodka and smoking hookah. And then he's out here
best life.
Just destroying the Suns. That was a beatdown, man.
I was surprised. I just assumed the Suns would win that series and Josh wouldn't have anything to worry about, and nope, wasn't even close. Game 7 was just a beatdown.
33 points. They won by 33. As a Sixers fan, I can't see anything because they got destroyed in Game 7 too as well.
You were also, the underdogs, you know. The Suns were the one seed, the prohibitive favorite to make it to the NBA Finals out of the West. And
yeah.
They just got destroyed.
How's Josh handling this right now? I've not
Probably
talked
not
to him.
Good.
I haven't heard of him. That's not good.
Yeah, I've talked to him a little bit, but I think he's a little bit in, don't ask, don't tell mode. Denial, Boss still going through those stages of grief.
He's probably on stage what? How many stages are seven? Six?
Yes, seven.
Stages. He's probably like stage three. Boston Miami is going to be a very, very good series. Two teams that are very good as a team. Incredible defensively. That should be fun. Could be a bloodbath. Jimmy Butler had some words basically saying, I should still be on the Sixers. That was crazy to hear. And Embiid basically saying, you know what? He should be still here if we didn't give a max contract out to Tobias Harris. Also, James Harden is no longer what he once was. Embiid out here roasting the entire Philadelphia 76ers team.
Just like, yeah, I don't think you expect him to be the guy he was a couple years ago. He's not really a playmaker anymore. It's like, huh?
That's all he is now. He can't score, so what can he do? And then Dallas Golden State should be fun. A team of superstars against the ultimate superstar in Luka Doncic. That will be very fun. Although Jalen Brunson starting to come into his own, as well as Spencer Dinwiddie off the bench for Dallas. This is the home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City, 15:10 a.m. We'll be back live in studio tomorrow from 3 to 4 p.m., joined by Todd Lebo. We are out.